Making real change in Albany is not for the faint of heart. Most of the time, it takes multiple attempts and enormous effort, and still, like Sisyphus, you can end up getting nowhere. You may remember that during the last legislative session, that lawmakers and government accountability groups were pushing to pass a clean contracting bill, a couple of bills, really, that would open up some of the governor's economic development programs to greater scrutiny. That effort failed, but it may be revived again in January with the help of the group Reinvent Albany. Today we speak with Reinvent's senior policy consultant Alex Camardo. Welcome back. How are you?
Hi, Susan. Good to be here. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too. So why does this issue remain so important?
Well, in the upcoming year, during the legislative session, we have five different trials related to corruption in state government. In January, there's a trial, and in June, of the corruption allegations related to massive economic development projects in upstate New York, the Buffalo Billion Project, as well as the nanotechnology hubs in Syracuse and Utica.
So this has been a problem for the state for a long time. Has economic development spending become any more transparent or accountable since these indictments or not?
It hasn't. We've advanced legislation known as the clean contracting legislation that the comptroller put forth, as well as what we've called a database of deals, which would make all projects that companies engage in and receive benefits for transparent to the public. And those bills moved forward to the legislature's credit during the last legislative session, but they did not pass. They were not signed into law, and no other efforts have been made to make these projects more accountable and transparent.
Can you explain to my listeners why that didn't happen? I mean, it had the majority of each House's support, yet it didn't make it over the goal line. What happened?
Well, it seems the legislative leaders and the governor did not come to agreement on this. As you know, the governor has put a lot of emphasis behind improving the economy upstate, and I think there's some hesitation on his part to admit that some of these projects obviously did not go as planned, given the allegations of corruption. But I think it's incumbent upon the governor and the legislature to admit wrongdoing where it occurred and to try to improve the system and create processes and systems that will allow for more transparent and accountable economic development.
We have about 40 seconds before we have to take a break. But you know, what do you want to see lawmakers do?
We want to see lawmakers pass the clean contracting legislation that the comptroller created, which would curtail bidding by not-for-profits. It would require the comptroller independently review contracts before they're executed, and we want to see the passage of a database of deals that would make transparent all the economic development benefits received by individual companies.
Beautifully concise, Alex. What we're going to do is take a break. When we come back, we're going to get more into exactly what is going to happen next session. This is sort of a preview of the battles to come. We'll be right back with Alex Camarda.
Rockefeller College of Public Affairs and Policy at the University at Albany, offering full, part-time, online, and evening studies in public administration and international affairs. albany.edu/Rockefeller.
So, Alex, we have an election year this year. We also have a budget gap. How likely is it that lawmakers are going to hold Cuomo's feet to the fire if they didn't do it last year?
I think that this year will be different because of the trials will really highlight the problems that existed with contracting in the state around these big economic development projects. And as you mentioned, you know, we've had fiscal times that have been relatively flush the last few years, and whether it's the federal tax plan or the decline in personal income tax receipts, the state is facing budget times that are going to be more challenging ahead, and I think because of that, you're going to see all spending scrutinized, in particular the $4.5 billion the state spends on economic development projects.
You testified recently at an assembly hearing on economic development. It was actually a pretty narrow discussion about NiStar. What is NiStar? Why do you say it's doing well, and what's the difference between it and the Buffalo Billion?
So the NiStar programs are really, as you mentioned, very small. Only $60 million in spending is spent on those particular programs. But as was testified by many different academic institutions that are involved in these programs, which incubate small technology companies, provide professional training and mentoring, those seem to be doing quite well and have existed for many years. I think a lot of the problems that we see with economic development spending lie with these mega projects, those that are $75 million or more, where we're building large factories for companies. And then the job promises that are made, even if they're fulfilled, the spending per job is much higher than we see for workforce or training development programs. And so that's why we need a system that evaluates each of these programs and determines which is most effective. I mean, this is taxpayer money, so we want to make sure that taxpayers are paying as little as possible to maximize the number of jobs that are produced.
Yeah.
And that can only be done with a systemic, effective evaluation system, which the state seemingly does not have.
And there, other states do. I mean, this isn't like we're reinventing the wheel here.
Yes, and you know, this issue of economic development spending is actually an issue across the country. It's interesting because there's agreement on the right and the left side of the political spectrum that there needs to be more accountability on this. I think groups on the right see these particular programs as an ineffective Band-Aid addressing that fails to address the underlying problem, which is the tax system and the regulatory system, and folks on the left see it as corporate welfare and spending that would be maybe better utilized on things like schools and public infrastructure that have long-term beneficial economic outcomes.
You also say that some of these programs, especially the large ones, are, quote, at a high risk for corruption. Why do you say that? Is that all of them?
Well, we've seen with the Buffalo Billion and those that are subject of the trials, we saw certain flaws that were revealed through those projects in the bidding, namely that those projects were bid out through affiliated not-for-profits, which have less stringent guidelines to follow than state agencies when it comes to competitive bidding. Many of those affiliates at the time did not conduct their meetings in open meetings. They did not believe they were subject to the Freedom of Information law, so that there was just less transparency, less scrutiny. And they were also bidding out projects in a manner that was different than state agencies. They didn't have to post them in the State Contract Reporter, for example. The specs of the contracts were not reviewed by the state comptroller. And all of those things combined create a corruption risk.
As far as you know, we've been discussing the economic development programs for months now with people like Jim Heaney of Investigative Post. And some of his reporting shows that the promised jobs either aren't there or the jobs aren't as lucrative as they had been promised to be. As far as you know, Alex, have there ever been any clawbacks from private companies who fail to live up to their deal?
I do not know, and I think that's another item that we're seeking to make transparent. It would be in the database of deals legislation. It also points to the problem of trying to measure how many jobs are being produced for the money that we're spending on economic development projects. There's no universal definition of what a job actually is. Is it a full-time job, a part-time job, a contract position? And so we can't even effectively measure how much money we're spending per job. And that is something that the database of deals would cure and hopefully shed light on.
So as efforts get underway to restart the process of passing this package of clean contracting bills, who have you spoken with and what are you hearing from them? Are people like the leadership in each house interested in passage?
We have not engaged them fully yet. We obviously testified at the hearing, but we saw last session the database of deals advanced in the Assembly. The clean contracting bill advanced to third reading on the calendar in the Senate. The governor had put forth in his executive budget pay-to-play prohibitions related to vendors. So we've seen each of the players in the deal-making put forth proposals, and it's just a matter of them coming together and getting a deal done.
So one of the reasons why John DeFrancisco, the Deputy Senate Majority Leader, said that he is running for governor is because of the frustration he had in that his bill did not make passage through the Senate, through the state Senate, the Republican-controlled Senate, and he's the second in command there and a Republican. What's your comment there?
Well, we certainly like to see Leader Flanagan and Hastie and also the governor come together to make the system more transparent and accountable. And we believe with the information that will be revealed at the trials in January and in June on these specific issues and with our advocacy in Albany and it being an election year, that we have a very good chance of that happening.
Alex, what should my listeners be listening for or watching for when these trials get underway?
I think they should be really paying attention to the details of how these deals came about with an eye toward the fixes that could be put in place at the systemic level to make contracting more transparent and accountable. I mean, we believe that we have the solutions in the form of this clean contracting legislation, but certainly it will point to the need for that legislation, and maybe other solutions will come forth as well from the particulars of these improprieties that have been alleged.
So the trials kick off, I believe, in January with Joe Prococo, and then what is the series of trials? Can you share that with us?
So Calieros, the former head of SUNY Polytechnic, is on trial in June for, again, the alleged bid rigging, as well as LP Simonelli, which was the construction company that did the Riverbend factory and core development. And then we also have, in April and June, the retrials of the former leaders Silver and Skelos, which will, again, shed light on how business is conducted in Albany. And I think those collectively are going to put a lot of pressure on the legislature and the governor to implement reform.
Alex Camarda is a senior policy consultant with Reinvent Albany, which you can find online at reinventalbany.org. Thanks again, Alex. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. And we want to thank you for joining us. Our producer is Tim Williams.
Howdy.
Our engineer is Dave White. I'm Susan Arbetter, and this has been the Capitol Press Room.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO. 2.5 million members speaking with one voice to ensure a better life for working men and women. Information at nysafl-cio.org. Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.